The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this March 23rd, Thursday, 2023. And tonight we have our producer, is none other with his own blog, none other than Style himself.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. And we have way out yonder there in Missouri, that backwoods preacher and the parson, the infamous parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Infamous is probably getting closer, but you start to say woke and I just about had heart failure, but I'm glad to be with you.
All righty, very good. Woke would give you a stroke, wouldn't it? Okay.
It would. That's not in my vocabulary. Political correctness is definitely out, and only God's word is in.
And as a rose between all the thorns in the program tonight, we have sitting right here with us my intelligence gathering marm, and none other than Heather Copper.
Good evening, brave listeners, welcome to another show.
Yep, and then tonight we have a special guest tonight. We got him back, and he was a gubernatorial candidate for governor of New Hampshire. He had the largest mortgage brokerage in the United States by volume. He owned a world-class horse racing business, and he discovered one of the biggest crimes of the century and how it's working right now to destroy us. I think he discovered the Ukraine of America here as far as money laundering goes, and turned down $50 million as a bribe so he could be here tonight with us to tell you folks the truth. And if that $50 million still out there, I could use it. we could get paid up. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor.
Mike Gill, good to have you here
with
us tonight.
Hi, Heather.
We're going to get...
Well,
go ahead.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. And we're going to get right into the scripture, and then we're going to sit back and turn it over to you, and you can let us know what's happening in your world.
I will, and there's things happening.
Yeah, I know. It's anyhow, and this is what we've got to fight till. I mean, for the rest of the time that we're on this planet Earth, it's going to be one long battle until the Lord takes us home. The good news is He will take us home. When His return is imminent for sure. And so, Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
Protection and fellowship and unity for those who Christ died for.
Okay, and so let's pick it up where we left off, and that was over in Colossians chapter 1. And go ahead and read verses 13 and 14, could you?
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
All right, so The power of darkness, that is what? It's the kingdom of Satan himself.
Right.
Is that kingdom of Satan right now, is it more active than it's ever been in the world today?
It sure seems that way.
And Mike, just jump in. You got something to say, just jump right in. But
I would say this. We are in balance at this point. We win or lose. I mean, we either taken over by evil, or we gain back the goodness in this country. And what happens in a matter of, I want to say months, and in the next year or two, we are at the pinnacle of this fight. Insight that had me see what was happening, it's also seeing what's going to happen, and it should frighten people.
Well, we know that in the end, we're going to win this thing, okay? The battle, as far as that goes, has already been decided, the outcome. Now, the only way we lose as people is if we fail to put up a good fight against the enemy. God had rose us up for such a time as this, as the Christian soldiers, and he told us to run to the battle, right? And so the only way that we lose is if we don't put up a good enough fight, and by not putting up a good enough fight, we lose our crowns and glory. We know for the rest of the world out there, the world, their future is not too bright. And so
I can tell you this, that's exactly how we're losing, is it?
Yeah. That's how we're losing right now, you say, Mike?
Yes. Exactly that's the way.
Because we're putting up...
We're overcome by fear and cowardice. And it's preventing us from standing up. And it's all by design.
Yep. You're absolutely right. We've been preaching on that for 50 years. Always run to this battle.
It's interesting. The French are really fighting the battle there, even though Macron made it illegal to protest. They have like 2 million people out on the street, and now the police are joining them. So I'm really wondering if that isn't what people need to know. If they knew that the military and the police would back them, I think they'd have more strength.
Well, the thing of it is,
it's the military and the police that is on the other side.
Yeah, it seems that way here, but they have changed. They're changing slowly in some other countries.
Yeah. It's not, and over there, but it's not that way so much in your local police departments. And like where we're at, they're with us. Our police department, our sheriff's department, they're with us.
Then they're one of the few.
Well,
one of the few.
I spoke to
English radio yesterday, England, broadcasting around the world, France, England, Canada, and I am telling you, they are watching America. So goes America, so goes the free world, and they know that too. So they're hearing what I'm saying across the world. I mean,
let me encourage you somewhat. 3 years ago, I spoke at Liberty University, and I spoke to 250 county sheriffs. And what they asked me to speak on is, where do we get the divine institution of human government? What does God's Word, the Bible, where did we get it? And I spoke on that, okay? And these folks, every one of them that I spoke to there, they were very, very pro-constitutional. And we've seen what has happened, and with a number of them. Sheriff Richard Mack is a good example of that, who we've had on our program over the years many, many times. So, no, there are, but that's the problem with our side. They're stupid in the sense that they don't realize they've got to get control of that, and they've got a charge. Instead of reacting to what the opposition does, we gotta act first. We gotta be the aggressors, and I'm seeing that starting to happen a lot. I know here in our area, we're going after the school boards. We're going after the public school system. I've been fighting that for like I said, for half a century, and I'm seeing a lot more of that around the country right now. So that is some good news right there. But here, the power of darkness is the kingdom. That's the kingdom of Satan here, in whom we have redemption. So through his blood. And again, we talked about that. That's been the theme of this whole thing. The question was, who did Christ die for? And we went through it starting over, actually in Romans, showing you how the Bible's very specific on who he died for. And a lot of people, you'll hear there's sound bites, but people really need to take a close look at the Bible, a very close look at what it actually says. Because you have, do you know what Jesus said, that many are called, but few are chosen? Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, in your name did I do this and did I do that? And he'll say, depart from me, because I never knew you. It's because they were never really saved. It wasn't, but because of false teachings, because of a false security people get, they thought they were saved. But let's go over now, Joe, to, let's go over to Romans chapter 5 and read me verses 8 through 11.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
All right. So we go back, for God commandeth that his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so here, why would he die for a sinner?
Because only a sinner needs a Savior.
You're right. Absolutely. There you go. And so,
and we know that God hated sin, and therefore he hated us while we were in sin. And then he loves us when we've come and asked for forgiveness and have had our sins washed away by covered by the blood of the Lamb.
All righty. So he starts in verse 9. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What does that verse mean? How does that verse, how does that deal with the rapture of the church in the tribulation period?
Well, we're going to be saved from the wrath. During the tribulation, we have been, you know, forgiven and born again. We will be taken away before that wrath of God comes to the earth.
Okay, so yesterday we talked about purpose. God says that what his purpose and what he has spoken, okay, he will do. And so when we talked about this here, that and we mentioned several things, you know, like if God had died for the whole world, then he says then the whole world would have been saved, right?
Right.
We talked about the Pope had said that Christ, humanly speaking, failed at Calvary, and we know that he did not fail at Calvary. So here, this verse is one of the many, many verses that talks about the wrath is coming on during the tribulation period. Why will the church not be on earth during the tribulation period?
Well, one, we're raptured, and then I'm looking at Revelation 3, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. We followed his word, the gospel. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwelleth upon the earth. We have already, you know, we're missing that because the church will be raptured and will not be here.
Okay, so what would, and Mike, just jump in. If you have a question, just jump in. What is the purpose of the tribulation period? It's to do two things. One is the purification of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has what is called the wife of God, has yet to be purified. She has not been purified. Now, the church is called the bride of Christ. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, has the church become the church by repentance of their sin? Joe, what's
we know that Jesus said he's gone to prepare a place for us, and our place is already prepared. Our home is in heaven, and we are now called the saints and the children of God. So we have no need to go through any tribulation because we're already children of the kingdom of heaven.
So the purpose of the tribulation is the purification of the nation of Israel and the judgment of the unsaved.
Right.
And so the church does not fit in either one of those categories, does it?
Not at all.
Okay, so now, when we go to Revelation, you were talking to Revelation, if you start in Revelation chapter 4 and you start reading it, you find out that, you see, John looks up and he talks about he is taken up. John represents the New Testament church there, is what he represents. And the New Testament church is not spoken of again until you get all the way to Revelation 17, at the end of the tribulation period. And so if it's not spoken of as being on earth during that time, then we know where she's at, right? Wherever it's spoken of.
I sure do. Until John wrote, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, you know, the throne was set in heaven. And so he went right to heaven and got to see what was going on there in the Spirit, which is what will happen, only we get our glorified bodies on the way.
Okay. So when we looked at this where it says much more in verse 9, much more, that's referring to a believer's position with Christ, because we see it again in verse 10. We see it again, much more being reconciled, and then we see it again in verse 15, much more the grace of God. And then we see it again in verse 17, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So we're seeing that word there used actually five times here in this passage of Scripture. Actually, in verse 20, it's used as moreover, okay? And then also right at the end it says, but where sin abounded, grace did much abound, much more abound, okay? And so we see that much more, much more, much more, five times, again, referring to the position of the believer in Christ, huh?
Very much. And verse 10 starts out again, for when we were enemies, in other words, when we were living in sin and unsaved, we were the enemies. We were not part of the fellowship until we become born again.
Amen. All right, and not
People
only
don't
so.
Realize that they say God loves everybody. No, we were the enemies of God. Right here it says clearly we were the enemies, and he hated the sin in which we were, you know, a part of.
Okay, but now, remember, it's very, very, very important that we don't ever read anything into Scripture that's not there, because see, again, I've heard people say when and they'll hear, and they'll take verses out of context. Okay, so. Here, for example, in Romans chapter 9:11, where the Lord says, is it not written that Jacob I love, but Esau I hated? Well, automatically, you know, and I've been, and we've done Bible studies, so people will pipe up and say, well, then God sent Esau to hell. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Who? Because the Bible says God hates all of those that commit iniquity, right? Which is what? That's sin. Only sinners can be saved, right? So
right.
The point that he's making is it's repentance that's required. The first thing Jesus preached on when he preached was what?
Repent was the very first word. Repent, yeah. The kingdom of God is at hand.
All righty. There you go. And Mike, when you have a question or a comment, just jump in. Let's go right over to Isaiah chapter 41, okay? In Isaiah chapter 41, I want to read. Let me see.
You had 10 and then 4.
All right, well, we can start with 4 and do 10 then, if you want. Isaiah 41. All right. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and the last, and I am He. And then 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. So, what is the point that he's making?
Well, he's, again, you know, he is the Lord. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is the I, great I am, the all in all, and he is going to, what? Uphold us and strengthen us.
So here, when he's talking about, he said, I want to go back because he was referring to the mighty man from the east, that he raised up a mighty man from the east. Let me see here. And I'm looking. Anyhow, that mighty man from the east that he was referring to was none other than Cyrus and his army. And let me start out here.
But isn't he right in this verse talking about the final restoration of Israel after the tribulation?
Yeah. Okay, let me go to verse 2. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over the kings. He gave them as the dust to the sword, and as driven stubble to the bow. He pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet. So here, he raised up Cyrus. Cyrus was a Gentile, okay? And yet Cyrus was, was his anointed. And so when I was in Israel, they had coins. And on one side of the coin, it was silver coins. They would have Cyrus, and on the other side, they had President Trump. And they referred to Trump as Cyrus, and who moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Okay, so what's he referring to?
I remember that. How did you feel about that?
You know, the symbolism was there. They actually, in Israel, they called him Daddy Trump. They called him Daddy Trump. And he was pro-Israel, pro-God. Today, what we've been seeing happening all over this country, in fact, here, just in a moment, I'm going to play a little clip just in a minute here. But you know, they're going after Trump. You know why they're going after Trump. I mean, you know why they're going after Trump. We know why they're going after Trump.
And I wanted to talk about that today. I know exactly why they're going after Trump.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's play this little clip, and then afterwards, you can tell us exactly why they're going after Trump. So, okay. Style, play that little clip.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic for which it stands,
ever,
one nation, under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alrighty, we have got a prayer request that we're going to need to go to very quickly here, and it's a fellow named Jeff. All I know about Jeff is that his mother has asked Blue to please pray for him. He's got stage 4 cancer, and unfortunately he had gone to the hospital, and the hospital had sent him home and told him to come back in 30 days, and then they tell him how it's advanced cancer. And his mother's called him. She's asked if we would pray. She said, "Lord, I don't know who this Jeff is, Lord, but thou knowest all things. And Lord, we just want to hold this Jeff up. First, Lord, I don't know if Jeff even knows you, if he's saved. If not, that's our first prayer, Lord, because we know before you can receive blessings, the first blessing you have to receive is that of salvation. So we're asking, Lord, that for Jeff's salvation, if he's not, and if he is, Lord, we're asking that you might touch him. You might give him a healing, and Lord, turn his desires towards you. And Lord, be a comfort to his mother at this time. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen." And the cancer, by the way, it's in his lungs, and apparently it's very serious. So, Mike, I'm going to play another little clip because this will answer your questions. And so, Style, put the clip up on about the white populace, about the World Economic Forum.
And then, the globalist elites pulled the trigger on the Trump arrest when he vowed last week to dismantle the elite pedophile power structure that has captured governments across the world and goes all the way to the top, the WEF, and even higher.
What's happening is very simple. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them. And I will totally obliterate the deep state. I will fire the unelected bureaucrats who have weaponized our justice system. Look at what they've done to our justice system, what they have done to our justice system. I will direct the Department of Justice to go after Marxist prosecutors' offices to make them pay for their illegal race-based enforcement of the law.
According to the WEF, Trump's upcoming arrest this week will act as a major step towards colonizing the United States, designating conservatives and Christians as domestic terrorists, creating 15-minute cities, also known as open-air prisons, legalizing pedophilia, and introducing a one-child policy for white families as a means of depopulating white America and creating a more equitable society. Before we dive in, make sure to subscribe to the channel and join the People's Voice Locals community for exclusive and uncensored content. The link is in the description box below, setting them off against each other.
Oh. All right, so there you go. I'm just going to let you know everything. I know that a lot of people are going to say, "Oh, you don't really believe that every word of it." This whole movement to try to eliminate the white populace, they want to start a war. And the idea is to really go after the white folks and then sit back. And they've done this in other countries. And then because Whitey out there is willing and he's ready to fight, many of us. And that's the whole idea is to lose people on both sides just to depopulate the planet, because the elite somehow think that they're going to get by unhinged. What do you think, Mike?
I think this is a war about control. They don't want to fire a shot. They want to turn around and control the American people and then even the planet across the world by fear. That is why you have 87,000 IRS agents proposed, armed. That is even why the digital currency. I want you to imagine if they could control your income, they could control your assets. When you said that I had turned down $50 million, Well, they took $274 million of my money because I said no. They took my business, my home, all my assets. And you know something? I knew exactly what they were going to do, and I accepted the consequences because I knew exactly who and what they are. Remember, the insight that made me a wealthy man was the insight that saw who these people are and as a plan. I created videos. I was a businessman first, a strategist because of business, a strategist in an industry that needed strategy, for instance, banking. As we're seeing what's going on today, that same banking strategy that I had that made me the number one broker by volume in the country, knew whatever's going on now is intentional. The fact that it's dark money that controls this country. Dark money. And what I mean by dark money, and it's important people understand, the dark money is the money that's untraceable. When you have congressmen and you have senators and they're taking money in book deals, they're taking money from lobbyists, from the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry, big banks. Are they being bought? Absolutely. That should be eliminated. So when President Trump talks, he should put that on the table first. You don't get paid for being in a position of power. You're there to serve your country. And if you don't accept those conditions, you shouldn't be serving this country. Now, again, this dark money is important because I have something to put out to the people today that is extraordinarily important, and it's direct evidence. And I wanted this platform to release this evidence because it's on radio. I trust this platform and the people listening because they have to hear this. Okay, and I will go further into this dark money, but understand this. I'm speaking of this dark money and in its reach. The dark money comes from drug cartels, human traffickers, which are one and the same. I mean, the pedophile groups, the organ harvesting. If there's a greater evil, I don't know what it is. If there's a hill to die on, I choose this one. The reason I would not take their money and knew they were taking mine and was certain they were going to murder me. And from what you're going to hear tonight, I'm even more certain now. I want to tell you about this dark money now. What people don't understand is when you hear Mexican cartels, don't think for a second that the largest cartels in the world are American cartels. When have you heard the term American cartels? Think about this. I mean, we have the Colombians growing poppies. These farmers control the United States and the criminals in Mexico were used as this trafficking through their country. What did the president of Mexico say recently to Trump when Trump referred to invading Mexico? What he said was, first of all, he said, no, you're not. Secondly, what he said was, fentanyl is an American problem. And he's right. It is an American problem. They're not killing people in their countries in record numbers. They're killing people in our country in record numbers. The United States leads the world in so many things. Yeah, like money laundering, drug distribution, guns. But it leaves the world in overdoses. They are killing our children. You want to talk about wokeness and in our schools? We are being conditioned to accept. We are breeding the cowards in a time where we need warriors. I mean, this is a war. We are in a war that you don't recognize, and you better, because we're losing this war, dramatically losing. And the question is it, the game is this, we're talking strategy, right? And when so strategy means, the think of it as moves on a chessboard. I had to evolve over time to recognize who this evil was. First, I want to tell you we're at a tremendous disadvantage almost immediately, because good people don't have it in their hearts to imagine people would sell children, for instance. People would sell them fentanyl knowing that they were going to die. The same cartels owning the treatment centers, using their own cartel members to run them, having the state license them so only the cartels control the treatment centers. The patients are the street distribution. I mean, good people can't imagine this evil. And what you can't imagine, you can't see. Now, here's the tremendous disadvantage. The disadvantage is they see you as weak. They see you as sheep, because you're not fighting back, that you don't believe they exist, yet they see you clearly. They see all your weaknesses. So in this game of chess that I've evolved with these criminals, in time I got ahead of them. In those videos for years, I showed you what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. I put it in a structure as a business organization. And I told you they were going to take over your AG's office. And then you hear Trump saying about the judicial system in your courts. That's exactly what I've been saying for years, 10 years before he said anything about it.
Let me break in for just a
second. It was me who gave him this evidence.
Mike, let me jump in for just a second, because believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about. Joe, for 8 years, when Obama was in office, what did we say every single day? Every appointment that he made, Mike, we showed you. We said, do you see what he is doing now?
What he's doing now.
Yep. Right.
Blow by blow, person by person, putting political hacks and activists into positions of power within the deep state, within the replacing bureaucrats with activists.
And remember, what's his name, Bill... Oh, on Fox News, he used to be on there when...
Bill O'Reilly.
I would argue with O'Reilly. O'Reilly would say things that were absolutely ridiculous, and he was supposed to be, you know, so bright. He would say, well, I believe Obama's a Christian because he says he's a Christian, therefore I believe. And then he said, and we took issue, he said Obama is just not up to the White House. And we were telling, look, this guy he has done more damage to this country than any army has ever done at that point. So, Mike, what you're saying, he went ahead and purged 11 four-star generals, 11, and then he started appointing these people, 260 flag officers, you know, he purged them. He purged 260 of them.
Any conservative was out, and the radicals were in.
Absolutely. And so, and we told people every single day for 8 years what he was doing. We pointed it out every single time. And we also, at that time, too, we dropped a dime, Mike, on the entire Biden crime family. We dropped a tremendous dime on him. We let people know. But you're right. It's like, you know, we're up against, but we have a lot more media now. Would you not say we have a lot more now than we had back then? What do you think?
The media is what sold us down the river.
I know.
I mean, they gave these people personas, good guys. They sold us on the lies. When you're talking about Obama... Right, those were calculated moves.
Absolutely.
Even Biden is they feel like he has Alzheimer's. That doesn't matter. He's not making the moves. Biden's a puppet, and he's the perfect puppet. He's got 40 years of criminality. He's got 40 years that he can be leveraged with. He's got direct ties with taking money, him and his son, to China in the middle of potential war. I mean, how outrageous is this? We got Trump looking to be indicted because of Stormy Daniels. Are you kidding me? And I go, we've got a president that sold his office today as a vice president, and for 40 years, he's got a son who's a bagman. I mean, this is what we lost. It was a calculation how they took over our court. From the New Hampshire AG's office, they took over the court. They took over the banking department to make it a laundering network. They turned around and controlled all the offices. It is a blueprint on how we lost the country. It is the same methodology. And ironically, it with the Pandora Papers inside of New Hampshire, and for the people who are just hearing the Pandora Papers, it is the largest money laundering network in the world that foreign journalists brought it to this country. And you know where they landed? On the same network that offered me $50 million. And for 10 years, I would tell, including Trump, this is the deep state laundering network. There is a central common weakness to this corruption across this country. And that is how to hide your money and how to clean it. That is our target. That is a strategy. So Trump's strategy about going into Mexico was a losing strategy to begin with. So when he's telling us all now, I'm going after the Justice Department, I'm going after these agencies, he says he's going after the Treasury Inspector General in that same speech. I have the Treasury Inspector General of the Treasury on a recording committing treason, putting spies and plants in my office because of the evidence I have. They were turning around and protecting the IRS and the money laundering. That is it. I mean, everything we need is in place. That is why I'm so dangerous to these people. I'm a strategist first. What did Trump do the minute he lost his election? He sent General Flynn and Sidney Powell to see me. Now think about that. There's 330 million people out there in the United States, and they went and found me. As both Flynn and Powell were sitting in the office with Trump, trying to stay in the position of president, they were going to use my evidence. Not that they didn't know they had my evidence, but they needed a new timeline. That's why, and what I'm telling you, General Flynn put in text messages. He put in emails. So did Powell. I posted that evidence. It's the only reason why I'm still here. I posted that evidence, and they asked for that $50 million settlement directly. How did General Flynn even know I had it? So what I am telling you, the tools of us winning, the strategy, can we win? Yes. That's what they don't want you to know. That's what they, what do they say? Satan's greatest accomplishment was to make you think he didn't exist. These people's greatest accomplishment was to make you think you can't win. We can win, but that's the strategy. So here's my issue with President Trump and his speech. If you knew all this, why didn't we drain the swamp? And now, whatever was, was. Whatever your reason was to not go after these people, let's get past it all. Because the present is so much more important than lingering on the past. Okay. So now, think about even just a few years ago, the deep state was considered to be a myth, considered to be, if you were a conspiracist thing, you were considered to be crazy. Yeah. Well, it seems to be pretty accepted now. So we're moving in that position, in that place. But we're moving too slow. But first, to President Trump, and I'm going to give you evidence that demands President Trump move. And that's why it was so important tonight. First, we can't wait 2 years for an election. We're at jeopardy right here and now. You don't think this evil doesn't know that they've got to move within 2 years? You think they're sitting back and letting us gain strength? Do you think, can we trust an election we just had and don't trust at all? Part of this corruption is corrupting the election. Why are they going after Trump? Because he's a wild card. They can't trust what he's going to do. They call him a loose cannon, as they do me. Right. Now it's time for firing that cannon. You don't wait 2 years. You go after him here and now. President Trump has a platform. People are listening. That is what's necessary. The battle lines are in the platforms. It's what we're doing here and now. I mean, we can't trust the media. The media works for both parties. Why do you? When has the truth been so far apart from CNN to Fox? So then what you've got to say, well, what is the purpose? The purpose is division. We are the many. They are the few. How do the few win? By dividing the many. It is a simple strategy. And one, I mean, black against white. They separate us by religion, by politics. I mean, it is their game. Do you think cartels care what color we are? They see us all as green. They will kill each of our children to make themselves wealthy. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you that I have absolute proof and evidence of. Many of you saw me go to videos where you see me go to the FBI dozens of times. What I did was I brought a camera. Because I brought a camera because I knew then the FBI was corrupted. And they are part of the protection of this criminality. But they go beyond, and I'll explain. But they turn around, and I needed you to see that they weren't doing anything. This is the depth of the corruption of this country. We are completely corrupt. The problem in our banking is that we're holding cartel money, corruption money. That is the largest industry in this country. You hear them speak of regional banks? How many of those regional banks are owned by drug cartels? What happened when they went after Silicon Valley Trust? They had 500 startup companies from Israel. Guess what? 80% of startup companies go out of business. So what happens to the money? It is laundering, and it went back to Israel. I mean, we are not even controlled. I have information from members of Congress that Chuck Schumer is an agent of Israel. I'm talking standing members of Congress. That's something President Trump should be getting that information. And I believe he does know this. Now let me get to this FBI. So you saw me go to there. They ran operations, the FBI, to stop me, to destroy my evidence, to threaten witnesses, including myself and my children. I went to an FBI agent named Mark Kassenbecker, a Boston FBI agent working out of the Bedford, New Hampshire office. For people to understand, the Boston FBI and the Boston U.S. Attorney's Office is what controls all of New England except for the state of Connecticut. Okay. Kassenbecker, when he met with me, turned around and wouldn't take my evidence in camera. In fact, the day I gave them the evidence, they sent it back to me the next morning. And we don't have to guess because I opened the box of all the evidence of the money laundering, of the drug cartel, a computer that had information about how they were setting me up to be murdered. They had it all. They could steal it, but they couldn't have you see me give it to them. So it came back to me. So why Hassenbecker? And in that meeting with Hassenbecker, he turns around and told me that Aaron Day and Eileen Landy were moles. These are individuals that were informants and plants by Project Veritas and James O'Keefe. He told me, the FBI said, that they were moles. Now, the question is, they were moles for O'Keefe and Project Veritas to use this evidence to leverage and work with Sununu to become governor. That is the Pandora Papers. That is the Protection Network and the drug cartel. They all knew, including the FBI, who was protecting them. So they were moles, but interviewed with the FBI who knew. In fact, and I'm giving you names because these are important witnesses, and witnesses that they already know. There's going to be people that I can't give you, but these I will. Greg Theodore was sitting to my left. He was the guy who was videotaping me going into the FBI. Hassenbecker, in front of Theodore, sitting next to me, said that he was a mole also. And he was right. He was working for Project Veritas. He was corrupting evidence in the court with the FBI. Why he gave them to me, I think he thought it was a setup, that I might have turned Greg Theodore. Greg didn't turn. None of them ever turned. So now think about this now. Now I want everybody listening. What Hassenbecker turned out to be prior was a Nashua, New Hampshire cop. Now, Nashua, New Hampshire is a gateway to drug distribution, as Salem, New Hampshire is, as Plastow. They're border towns that are moving drugs. So it's critical to own those police departments. Now, before I was talking to Hassenbecker, that same Nashua, New Hampshire cop was a drug enforcement agent for the FBI in Miami, Florida. So from a New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire cop to the FBI in Miami dealing with drug enforcement? Now, this is why it's so critical. The information I have and the names that I have. Has the Miami FBI, working with the Coast Guard, the Coast Guard is taking shipments of drugs off of ships. That's right, fentanyl, children, off of ships, bringing it into the Miami FBI to be distributed. The FBI is distributing fentanyl. I told you the DEA were partners. I told you the FBI were protecting them. The FBI is doing more than protecting them. They're in distribution.
I can believe that. Are you still there? Okay, hang tight. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. We may have lost Mike. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.